Hi, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Kimbrel hit a velocity dip last year. Did Kimbrel, his pitch mix changed a little bit. Four-seam fastball velocity down. I haven't got to check spin rate. Walk rate was up. There is a concern, as we discussed at length yesterday with Joe Sheehan, that you know you get excited about the name. You get excited about what he did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's guaranteed to come in here and miss bats like he always has. And that's what you're paying for. You are paying for strikeouts.
I just can't help but think, if Strope is getting those two strikeouts and the one ground ball in the eighth, and then Kimbrel gets the clean sheet in the ninth, you feel even more confident. And that pushes the next guy back to the seventh, and the next guy back to the fifth, and the next guy back to the fourth if it's a Yu Darvish start. You know, it fixes perhaps more issues than one.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus will join us at 10. Midday Midway comes your way at 10:40. Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations of the Cubs, is expected to join us at 11, and we're hopeful that he can, in fine detail, discuss this new major acquisition. Craig Kimbrel, the guy that Connor McKnight believes is on a Hall of Fame track as a closer.
It's not just me, man. Look at the numbers. It's one of the best ever. Do it.
Not sure.
It is what it is. We'll talk to Matthew Trueblood about it at 10.
Finding out what you think about the big Cubs news that came down last night. A strange Cubs game. Just a
with the
bizarre. It was San Francisco here yesterday.
It was very strange.
It was San Francisco.
I listened to our broadcast of it with Zach Sabin filling in for Pat and Ron Coomer, and they had trouble finding pop-ups. There was the one from where Contreras had to track it to the back of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for the two of them to tell it hit the screen at all.
Did you see the rogue seagull?
Yeah, well, of course I saw the rogue seagull.
It was
seagulls.
Just kind of hanging out in the infield. And yep. I think JD said, hey, get back to the outfield where you belong.
Charging home plate as though there were going to be a bunt down.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of infield gulls. You know, flying really low, just kind of hanging out there. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You want to reach us via phone, email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext? 670-6701. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app.
Jonas Jerebko sucks.
Oh my God. Oh, he's a pestilence upon mankind.
That was rough.
I think he's my new Ersan Ilyasova.
You're going to replace him.
Yeah. I think
it was that bad last night.
I think Ersan Ilyasova is going to give up the Bernstein least favorite player offender of sensibilities title to one Jonas Jerebko.
We need to have a meeting
That is bad upon bad at everything.
It was disgusting.
What are you doing
even Rick didn't make it through the fourth quarter last night. Raptors over the Warriors, 123-109.
Horrible.
It was not good. Steph was
horrible. Yeah, but the game was horrible.
Just awful.
So when you download the app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We got a video feed. It's directed by Brian Gertz. It's at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. We have producers. They are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does, the executioner Ray Diaz. So according to reports, it is 3 years, and it's $43 to $45 million in there. Apparently, the $9.3 million remaining on what's left of the Ben Zobrist contract this is according to reports. I saw Ken Rosenthal on MLB Network, and he is reporting it straight up.
Yeah.
That this money is freed up. If that's the case, then they know Zobrist isn't coming back.
That is likely the case. You don't make a deal for twice the money because it seems like it's going to be a wash, right about $10 million for this season for Kimbrel, and then you've got the $9 and change for Zobrist that goes away. That seems like a pretty even, straight-up exchange.
Yeah, I think the fact that the message is sent to this team, we believe in you, the front office is going to do what we need to do to optimize your opportunity to win the World Series, go win the World Series. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back a month, right? I mean, let's go back to the 2-7 start where the bullpen, it seemed everybody Joe was calling out of the pen had a walk per nine at about 8. Or 9 or 11 in some case. I mean, it was a rough go, and I told you at the time, putting Craig Kimbrel on that team then doesn't fix the issues. Not when everyone's walking everyone else while they come out of the bullpen. They have, like you say, earned their place. They've had some relievers come in from AAA and settle things down. They've had some guys on their own settle things down. They sent Carl Edwards Jr. out on a soul-searching mission to AAA to get himself back and right. They had the offense bounce back, and the starting pitching, for the most part, has been pretty darn good. That all had to stabilize itself. Because remember, Theo in the offseason said two things. One, we'll add if it's a contender. Mm-hmm. But if we're not there, we're not scared of moving some pieces that need to be moved.
We want your input today. It is one of these times where this is the place to react at 312-644-6767. Chip is in Burbank. He's on the score. Good morning, Chip.
Morning, guys. You know, when I first heard the news yesterday about the Cubs being so interested in Kimbrough, the first thought that went through my head was, are they interested in him for the rest of this year, which to me made sense, or would they be willing to give him a long-term contract? And I thought that they wouldn't give him a long-term contract. It kind of surprised me. And I guess my question is, yesterday, not today, but yesterday, if I would have said to you, would you offer Kimbrough a three-year, $43 million contract to come to the Cubs? I wonder how many people would have said, yeah, I don't think so.
Chip,
that's
I think
my thoughts, guys.
Sure, appreciate you calling, Chip. Thanks for listening. I think that was the price of poker.
Yeah, he's got leverage.
You know, he really does. I mean, he's the top reliever out there, whether it's, likely in free agency, definitely in free agency. And I'm going back to the offseason. He demands that kind of money. He has that kind of leverage. And I would imagine teams like the Dodgers or the Twins or maybe even the Brewers were interested in a three-year deal for that kind of money. I think that's what it was going to take to get Craig Kimbrough. And remember this, too. You know, you're adding a solution, hopefully, for the next two seasons. The Cubs have been a franchise, at least since 15, that have had to, you know, go from year to year with a closer solution, whether it's Rondon to Chapman to Wade Davis.
Tomorrow.
And then you've got Brennan Morrow, who had questions when you signed him. I mean, you took a little bit of a risk, took an awful risk with Brennan Morrow, as it seems. So now you add this next guy on a long-term deal that hopefully settles a bullpen for the next couple.
Gold Coast next. This is Frank on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score. What's happening, Frank?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited about the Craig Kimbrough pickup. It's going to solidify the bullpen, the entire pitching staff. Very excited about it. Love you guys. Look forward to listening to you more about this today.
Well, thank you.
Thank
Frank.
You.
And you know what? Step out and see us tomorrow.
You can.
If you agree with Frank and you love us, and you should, because we're absolutely, we should be loved.
Well, if you hate us, you can stop by too.
Well, that's always fine. That guy.
That's my guy.
Yeah,
that's my guy. He comes out to every show just to tell me how much he hates me. God,
yep.
I love you.
But he's always there.
Right.
So that means he's listening. He can't hate you if he's not listening.
That guy's been to more shows than my dad.
So do stop out tomorrow. We're going to be at Wrigley Field before the Cubs take on St. Louis, this big weekend series. We're going to get your weekend started. We're going to be in right field. Not like in the field, but at the right field porch.
I don't know. Play our cards, right? Might be able to get down there.
From 9 to noon. So stop by. You can see us. You can see Lawrence Holmes up until Cubs pregame at 12:45. And begin your Cubs weekend right out there at the ballpark. Maybe we'll stick around and have a cold one after the show.
Oh, I would imagine that's going to happen. We'll be at a ballpark. Not said no to that in a long time.
Saginaw, Michigan. Here's Bobby. He's on WSCR.
Hey, guys. I love that they added Kimbrough here. I think the Cubs are, you know, one of those teams now where you always kind of got to balance the urgency to win right now with the future money coming with them. A guy that Kimbrough, I mean, on paper, he is a Hall of Fame track. I mean, he's one of the best relievers ever. He throws really hard, and we know that he'll probably deteriorate a little bit, but they got him for a deal that's pretty favorable. I mean, Wade Davis just signed a four-year, almost $60 million deal about one offseason or so ago. I think it's great. They're improving their chances to win right now while not being totally hamstrung with a guy that will probably lose some velocity and effectiveness. But right now, that's great. They're helping their team win. So that's awesome to see. I love it.
I tend to be with you on that, Bobby. I don't really see a downside here. This is when you do things like this. If not now, If your team that you root for can't do something like this right now, at this point in their competitive window, when would any team ever do it?
Right. The issue there, though, is, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this as the morning goes on, you could have justified this signing in the offseason. It was only because of 3 weeks of play or so that this issue of this idea of justification of needing to prove to whether it's the front office or management or purse string holders or whatever, that Craig Kimbrell is worth going to sign popped up. This is a team that was expected to go in a division. It's a team that came within a game last year. You add a guy like Kimbrell, you know, you're looking for wins on the margin. Well, you've just added one of the best relievers in baseball the last couple of years, making him the guy you signed 3 years, $43 million a year. Kimbrell would be, in terms of average annual value, like the fourth highest paid closer in the game. Davis, Chapman, Jansen, Kimbrell. That's how that would go. Kind of makes sense. That's the price.
We all, you know, kind of saw where we're at and heard where we were at as far as money and all that stuff. So for Tom and Theo to get this deal done, I mean, it's a huge, you know, shot in our arm for us. You know, it's only going to help us. You know, now we just, it's like getting a gift on Christmas morning and having to wait, you know, to open it for a week or so before he's here. So, you know, I think it'll kind of more set in when he actually shows up and is in uniform with us and pitching.
John Lester on his new teammate. Does Kimbrell still have the beard? Because we're just looking at last year's highlights. There's no video of him staying sharp wherever he is on a high school backfield somewhere.
Maybe that's part of the wait for a physical. He's got to shave the beard before the x-rays work.
I don't think there's any rule against it on this team, so if that's still what he's sporting and still likes that look,
That's why I'm really glad that Kimbrell didn't go to the Yankees, and I'm hoping that Dallas Keuchel doesn't go to the Yankees either. I mean, those are just two guys who have made their living with giant soup catchers, and I don't think they should be made to remove them.
This note from Stonecutter says, do you have any concern that Joe Maddon, on the last year of his deal, will have no qualms about sending Kimbrell out to get five outs a dozen times in the last 6 weeks of the season? I know Kimbrell only wants to pitch the ninth, but that's what Chapman said when he arrived. We know how that went. I probably shouldn't worry about this, but after blowing through all the stop signs on Morrow last year, I can't ignore the possibility that Joe will burn through all his bullets in the regular season.
I think that's a mistake that got made already. I mean, you heard some of the conversation around Brandon Morrow and the back and forth that happened last year when he got used three times in four games or three straight.
If that starts to happen, I would imagine Theo pulls a John Paxson and goes down there and pulls his tie.
You have to play carefully with these relievers. And that's why, too, I'm fascinated by this. The pitch lab idea for a newly added player, whether that guy was going to, I don't know, come around on trade or like Kimbrell's case as it's being reported, free agency. The cool part about this is now you get to go test whether or not your advanced cameras, whether or not your whole process can work for a guy on the fly almost. I mean, that's kind of the process that they go through with these guys anyway. But now it's very much on the fly, a couple of sessions, see what happens at, you know, AAA or advanced spring or wherever the hell you're going. And then put it into play. That's fascinating to me, especially with a guy like Kimbrell, who's on the other side of 30, has had some telltale flags pop up about velocity loss and spin rate loss, that kind of thing. Now you get to see if you can fix them.
You can get it back. You're allowed. We know that now. You're allowed
to
get
Astros.
Those things back.
And look at Justin Verlander.
That's why I'm telling you, this book by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sawchuk, The MVP Machine,
man,
this is... It may be the most important baseball book. It's certainly in the it's there with Moneyball as a defining book of its era.
Sounding that way.
From everything I'm hearing about it, from all those who've read it and who've read advanced copies and who we're getting a bunch of copies sent here.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, that
I bought one.
Well, that
somebody
that
should have told
book,
me.
That book, and I think Joe Sheehan said it is as important as the first Bill James baseball abstract in 81 or 82,
it's groundbreaking.
Whenever that came out, that this thing is, if you are a baseball fan and you want to understand what is happening in the game right now, when that's another thing we're going to talk to Theo about, is looking at the draft and the idea of for what are you drafting? Are you drafting for engineerable traits? Are you using all of this imaging to say, okay, just like they did with Kyle Ryan, to say, we see something. We see a different arm slot. We see a different grip. We see a different rotation on a certain pitch.
Yeah.
And that we know we can create something now.
I think it'll be fascinating to watch how quickly they get him into a major league uniform. It sounds as though it's anything from 10 days to 3 weeks, and I wouldn't be upset either way. You got to make sure that your eyes have checked all the boxes appropriately. But I think with the Kimbrel signing, that's as it's being reported, it's an interesting facet to this team because they're doing something a little bit unlike they've done before. I want to take a look when we get back at what this means for future Cub teams and how it affects the window that they've created with the position players that they've got signed for a little while, the relievers that they don't have signed for a little while, and the changes in the rotation that they may have to deal with down the line as well.
All right, we will look at the full ramifications of the reported Craig Kimbrel contract. We are the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's like in 16 when we got Chapman. I feel like this is the same bullpen, and then, you know, the year in 16 we won it all, we got Chapman. This year we made a little move earlier in the year and we got Kimbrel. And, we're all looking forward for him coming here. I'm excited, to be honest, because that was like one of the guys I used to always say. I got Chapman in 16 to play with, and then now I have Kimbrel, and that was one of the guys like, bro, I would love to play with him one day, and my wish came true.
That South Carolina draw belongs to Carl Edwards Jr., happy with the acquisition of Craig Kimbrel, as I imagined everybody in that clubhouse would be. The Bernstein and McKnight Show. We're going to talk to Matthew Trueblood at 10. We're going to talk to Theo Epstein at 11. And talking to you as we speak about this move and what it means for now, what it means for later. Want to grab a call? We've been getting a flurry of calls as you are reacting to the Cubs news, as you should. That's what we're here for on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Neil, River North, you are on Bernstein and McKnight.
First off, Dan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
That Omaha steak package, does it come with a partridge and a pear tree as well?
Hi!
What else you got?
He's special.
Are you there?
Yes.
What's up, man?
Oh, I thought you guys hung up. So this Kimbrel signing, this was the perfect move by Theo. They took care of a need. They've got, they've blown 11 saves already this year. He didn't rush into it. He waited. Doesn't have to give up any draft compensation. It's perfect. It should work out great as long as Kimbrel could throw the ball.
That would be good. A relief pitcher that can throw the ball. I'm with you on that one.
Would be helpful.
But there's so much more going on than just what's happening right now.
Think about what this means for the future. It means you don't have to dip into the farm system for this impact arm, right? So it keeps intact. Most people would say it's like a bottom third of the industry farm system. A couple of impact guys and Nico Horner having the busted, fractured wrist I can A, relate to, and B, it kind of sucks because that guy could have maybe made a little bit of an impact this year at the major league roster. Maybe. So now, think about it this way too. This bullpen probably needs another move. It probably always needed another move. Guys get hurt. Guys underperform. They got to get Brad Brock to pitching like he did two years ago, as opposed to whatever the hell that was last night. That was egregious. So you're looking for two moves. Now your trade. I mean, if you're going to do this all via trade, then you were looking at moves like Jesse Chavez, two of them, hoping one of them panned out and the other could cover some innings. You were looking to repeat Chavez and Kinsler and maybe have that kind of success. Maybe. Now your one trade can be a bigger one, because you haven't depleted from the farm system to get this guy in.
I hadn't thought about that. Going after a Column A type.
Maybe.
Yesterday he was brutal.
Yeah, well, that was bad. Maybe you get a Column A type. Maybe you get somebody with that's got a little bit of control left. Because what you've got left in the bullpen for next season, I know we haven't talked about next year quite a lot, but I think with the Kimbrel signing, the reported Kimbrel signing of 3 years and 43, you need to start talking about next season because you kind of see how they're laying out their plans. You know that Pedro Strop, Brandon Kinsler, and Steve Cishek are all free agents after this year. I just said Pedro Strop is a free agent after this year. He's been Joe Maddon's safety blanket. I mean, Steve Cishek has too, a little bit. You've seen the signs of wear and tear there. So your bullpen next season is Kimbrel in the back and Tyler Chatwood and Brandon Morrow and Brad Brock and whatever they salvage out of Carl Edwards.
Yeah, they need to get Brock into the lab. They need to figure this out because he is pitching a 5.11 ERA to a 5.29 xFIP.
That's not great.
So the hard numbers and the peripherals are painting a picture of a serious problem for somebody who was signed to be a high leverage arm.
Yeah, if you're not fluent in some of the new sabermetrics, that is new school for getting waxed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely getting shellacked.
Yeah, when
every
I say
time out.
XFIP is just a number, expected fielder independent pitching, and it's a really good stat for what a pitcher can control. And when you see variances between earned run average and that, you can see guys who are sometimes getting a little bit lucky,
yeah,
maybe getting a few breaks here and there, or being unlucky. This is painting the picture of somebody who's bad.
Do you think that this has anything to do or has any impact on Joe Maddon's future? Because I was trying to suss that out
does.
A little bit last
Is the answer to that yes, whether we like it or not? Because depending on whether or not they underperform in the postseason or in getting to the postseason, it all does. All roads lead back to that because he doesn't have a contract for next year.
Yeah.
And they're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, I suppose everything is a referendum on a guy that's in his final season under contract. I keep on thinking about the way our conversation with Joe Sheehan yesterday, too. Maddon has become fairly rigid when it comes to bullpen usage.
Conservative.
He loves his capital C closer. He's talked to us, you know, all last year about how he likes to plan from the back end of a ball game and then work his way, you know, back to the starter and then kind of fudge wherever that starter ends, whether it's the fifth, the sixth, or maybe even the seventh. But you work your way backward like that, and you see how important it is to give a clean slate to your closer every ninth inning, or at least every ninth inning you've got a lead. I would like to live in a world where you're watching a team that's got a bullpen that's more non-conventional, that has a little bit more outside the box options in it.
Sure. If you understand that in a game seven of a playoff series, the biggest out in the game happens to be in the fifth or sixth, mm-hmm, the pitcher most likely to get that out should be available to get it.
But unfortunately, I mean, the way that a lot of these guys have pitched so far, I would be reticent to give some of those outs toward the back of the game to someone other than Kimbrel, mm-hmm, at this point. I mean, assuming Kimbrel pitches well and he's your Craig
Kimbrel.
But you
only have the out in front of you. You
right.
can't assume that those outs are going to, they may not matter
no,
later.
No, of course. But with the walk rates that you've got, whether it's Chatwood, who's pitching better but still comes with that walk rate, with whether it's Brad Brock or Kyle Ryan or Steve Cishek even, I mean, you're looking at usage rates and walks per nine that really make you wonder about what you've got after Kimbrel if you're using him a little unconventionally.
In Palatine, it is Lou on Sports Radio 670.
How you doing?
What up, Lou?
My grandson and I were at the game last night, and we left happy, of course. But you're talking about Joe Maddon. He brings in Kyle Ryan and left him in too long before he brought Brandon Kinsler in. And then he goes to Brad Brock and lets him stay in for four earned runs and only get one out. Does anybody except the two of us think he went way too long with both of those guys?
You know, he said after the game that he really liked Brad Brock in that that pocket of the Rockies lineup. It did not turn out that way. And I think with the lead they had, Dan just said it, Brad Brock figured out is going to be fairly important for this team. Kimbrel or no. I mean, you still have, let's play it conservative, let's call it 15 games. If you've signed Kimbrel today and physicals pass and we talk to Theo at 11 and we're all good to go, then you've got what, maybe 15 games before Kimbrel's there? You need a functioning bullpen, and Brad Brock, a decent one's got to be good at that. If you find a matchup, you know, where you've got, oh, that's these three hitters, I think we can get Brad working here and find some spaces.
It was a low leverage situation. That's the thing. Just because the leverage index changed after the fact, it doesn't mean that the thinking was necessarily wrong.
Yeah.
To say let him work on stuff. Things are okay here.
And he seemed a little worried about, you know, last night talking after the game, he seemed a little worried about what was left in the back end of that bullpen. He didn't want to have to get to Chatwood, even though he was, you know, probably ready to pitch a little bit. You've got day game, like you say, day game after a night game. That's something you got to watch too.
David Bodie was a record setter last night. That's a Cubs second baseman hadn't driven in seven since Ryne Sandberg did it.
You realize that wasn't the David Bodie game, though.
Correct.
That the David Bodie game is the walk-off grand slam against the Nationals. That's the David Bodie. It was always, it will always be the David Bodie game. This one was nice. It's David Bodie game B or something. The grand slam is the David Bodie game.
It's a hell of a slash line for David Bodie right now. 289 batting average, 363 on base, 503 slugging. That's a 126 WRC plus. That means he's 26% better on offense than average in this run environment.
Check his last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's 390. It's slugging 750.
That's good.
I mean, the guy's,
that would be a nice thing to keep up over
terrific.
Time.
And if he's, you know, if he is streaky like this, you know, because the 3 weeks before, you know, May 15th weren't so great. If he's streaky like this, you can live with that because you've got so many, because you've got enough bats in there to hopefully steady the process. It's nice to see Wilson Contreras come back a little bit. It's nice to see Javi come back a little bit and be healthy. I think you can live with David Bodie being a little streaky.
Here's your Cubs lineup for today, a game you're going to hear on the score with a 121st pitch. It is Jose Quintana against Peter Lambert. Lambert will be facing this Cubs order. Kyle Schwarber leads off, plays left. Chris Bryant is in right. Anthony Rizzo at first. Javier Baez at short. Wilson Contreras bats fifth and handles the catching duties. David Bodie at third. Albert Almora Jr. in center. The second baseman is Daniel Descalso today. And Jose Quintana.
Okay.
Ninth. All right.
Listen, he's better than... Were you watching Daniel Murphy play first base last night?
Yeah, and remember what I said last year when I was watching him play second base. I said the only place you could play him is first. I'm not sure you can play him at first.
The ball that Rizzo hit down the first baseline, and I don't know that Murphy saw it, much less moved for it.
He looks like a softball player.
He's immobile. Turns like a battleship. It takes an hour and a half.
Yeah, he looks like a softball player. However, he could still handle the
bat.
Oh,
no, he can still hit.
I mean,
yeah,
he can really... Yeah. I mean, it looked like when Darvish struck him out, he was reduced to some sort of sorcery. And he had to really try to mess with his timing because he had everything so well timed up.
That was a beautiful pitch to strike him out, too, in that first at bat against him. That was that nasty cut slider kind of thing that just... that was gross.
Yeah, when he gets in between his own pitches, I don't even know what to call him.
Neither do I. Neither does Coombe. And he's so good at knowing what they're throwing in that pitch. Those two... really get everybody because I don't think he knows really what's coming out of the hand when it's working that well.
You won't want to go anywhere because one of the smartest people covering baseball is going to join us next. He's a huge Kimbrel fan. He's going to tell us why. Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus is coming right up on the score.